Certainly we have appreciated the things that have gone before, and I don't know what I could add or would want to add to that that has come forth. It's very important for us today to understand those things, and thankful for what we have heard, not only this morning, but last night as well. Wonderful preaching, and I trust the Lord to be merciful that we might continue. I remember hearing a tape of Elder Altom, and it had to be a long time ago. And he had on the tape, he had a real high-pitched voice. And he said that the brethren had been talking, and the first one that did not have liberty to preach was going to have the task of mowing the lawn. And Brother Altom said, "Brethren, start the lawn mowing." I trust that's not the case this morning. I trust the Lord to be merciful unto us. I would tell you that if I got what I deserved, then I would not ever speak another word in the name of our Lord. I'm not too good to fail, but I trust the Lord will be merciful unto us, and ask that you continue in prayer. Many things that we could say introductory, but we want to hurry on and trust the Lord will bless the thoughts that we have had. While Elder Allen was preaching, I remembered in my concordance in my Bible, is a place that has all the different titles or names that the scriptures refer to Christ as. Alpha and Omega, various ones. And I think I counted, as I was real hurriedly counted, 53 of them. There might be more, but 53 of them. And the one that we want to try to talk on was not one of the 53. I thought that interesting. We thought of our Lord in all kinds of ways in which the Bible gives us liberty to do so. The apostle, referred to as our Lord, the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, in the Hebrew letter. So many different names given to our Lord. God would bless. We would like to think of our Lord in a way that Scripture gives us leave to think of Him as, and that is servant. Have you ever thought about your Lord as servant? Turn with me, if you would, to the 12th chapter of Matthew, and the subject is such that we're going to have to go through many scriptures and not stay in just one particular place. Don't apologize for that, but just a forewarning, I guess. Some people have not really considered Christ as servant. Might be a foreign thought to them. 12th chapter of Matthew, beginning in the 14th verse, I guess. "Then the Pharisees went out and held counsel against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which the prophet Isaiah, the prophet saying, spoken by Isaiah the prophet saying, 'Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles.'" Let's go to where that's recorded. That's in the 42nd chapter of Isaiah. First verse, 42:1 of Isaiah. "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." Let's go to the 52nd chapter of Isaiah. 13th verse. "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. And many were astonished thee. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. 53rd chapter of Isaiah, 11th verse. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Let's go to Philippians. Five. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness. Christ was a servant. I've read, and there's more places. I haven't read all of them. There's more. But hopefully in those four or five places I've read, you can't argue that Christ was not a servant. However, underline, exclamation point, whatever. However, he has never been our servant. He is God's servant. See, many people consider Christ as their servant Savior. I'll let you save me when I am ready for you to save me. You're my servant, Christ, and I'll allow you to save me when it's high time, in my opinion, for you to do so. That would make Christ our servant. But he's not. Never has been. Never shall be. But nevertheless, he is servant. Almost in every case, except maybe this last one I've read to you, he is referred to as my servant. That's Christ. That's God saying, my servant. He's God's servant. Now that's a different concept, I know, of thinking about Christ as servant. But let's make sure that we underline that it's not our servant, it's God's servant. But yet we have in Scripture, he's referred to as my servant. Now let's consider that for a little while. How was he God's servant? How was it displayed that he was God's servant? I think even initially, at the manifestation of the Son of God to be made flesh, we get a hint of the fact that he was to be God's servant. Second chapter of Luke, talking about Mary, and she brought forth her firstborn and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. He's servant. Do you remember our Lord himself said something along this line? That the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man have where to lay his head, have not a place to lay his head. He was servant. We find over in Matthew's writings again, I think in the 20th chapter here of Matthew, we find our Lord speaking concerning this with his disciples. The mother of James and John came and began to ask that her sons might have a place on the right and the left hand of Christ. And there began the other 10 rose up, didn't much like that, and began to have some debate among them. And the Lord said this in the 27th verse of the 20th chapter of Matthew, "And whosoever shall be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." He was servant. We find again, if you would, something that amazed the disciples in the 13th chapter of John, as he began to pour water into a basin, took a towel, put it around his waist, got down, and began to wash his disciples' feet. He says, "You call me Master and Lord, and so I am. But if I do this, ye ought also to do it to one another." He is servant. We could go on and see that obviously our Lord was servant. But never, my friends, is it more obvious than where we want to go to, and that is on the cross of Calvary. Amen. Listen to it, my friend, as we read where Elder Allen began in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. His servant. Listen to what it says in the 10th verse. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath made him to... Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief, his servant. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied, and by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. I'd left off reading the remainder of this the first time. For he shall bear their iniquities, his servant. Oh, my friends, understand. He, on the cross of Calvary, more than any place else, should it be obvious unto us that Christ Jesus our Lord was God's servant. Was it not Christ himself that said, I come down not to do my own will? Why? Because he's servant. But I've come to do the will of the Father. He was servant, my friend. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. He was servant, my friend. Certainly he was. Look at 1 Peter if you would. And then the second chapter and the 21st verse. 1 Peter 2 and 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. Why? Because he was servant. Who, when he reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threateneth not, but committeth himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. I declare unto you by the word of God, he is servant, my friend, but he's God's servant. Amen. Upon the cross, as it were, servant, my friends, and the sins of his people laid upon the shoulders of God's servant. His servant. Oh, listen to it. Where else could we go? We could go to 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, last chapter. For he who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, his servant. Go back with me again to the Philippian letter and read what it has to say in the Philippian. And we'll read more than just the first bar or where we left off reading before. Again, a Philippians 2nd chapter, 7th verse. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of the servant, of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was servant. Oh, my friends, get a glimpse of this if you would. Oh, we could go as we did from his birth, but I want you to know from his birth to his death, he was servant. From the time, my friends, that he came down. Do you remember when it was, again, 2nd chapter of Luke? Do you remember when it was, even as a child, that they marveled at his wisdom? He was even rebuked by Mary and Joseph for not being in their midst as they went a day's journey. Took 3 days to find him. Where was he? Talking to the elders and the doctors, confounding them, my friends, with the wisdom that he had. And they, Mary, come to him and began to rebuke the Lord of glory, if you would. And it said, he says, wish ye not that I be about my Father's business. But what did he say? He says, he was subjected. He was subject unto them. My friends, he was servant.
Imagine, if you would, the Lord of glory being subject unto those who he actually came to save, Mary and Joseph. And yet he was subject unto them. He was servant. Oh, hear the conclusion of the whole matter, if you would. Go with me to the 40th chapter of Psalms. We've said all of this to get to this place. Look at the 40th chapter of Psalms. And there's an interesting thing. And I'm going to read and leave out the part that I want. And I'm just going to read beginning in the 6th verse and leave out a little statement that's in the 6th verse and see how it flows without this statement. It seems like this statement that I'm wanted is just put right here in the middle, and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense in the context when you first look at it. Let me read it without the sentence or the statement that I want. I probably got everybody confused. Just bear with me. 40th division of the Psalms in the 6th verse. Sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Now, I left out a particular part. Didn't that flow? He talks about sacrifices and offerings thou dost not desire. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. Doesn't that flow? Somebody say yes. Doesn't that flow? All right, thank you. Now, there's something in the middle of that that is just strange to me when you first look at it. Let me read the whole thing to you now. Sacrifices and offerings thou dost not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offerings hast thou not required. Let me do that again. Sacrifices and offerings thou dost not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. That's 40 and 6 of Psalms. What in the world does having your ears open have to do with burnt offerings and sin offerings? Everything. Everything. But when you first look at that, what in the world is that talking about, having your ears open? Well, my little marginal reference here, it says, having them digged. Well, what does that mean? Well, let's go to the Old Testament. Let's go farther back in the Old Testament. Let's go to Exodus 20, 21st chapter of Exodus. 21st chapter. We're talking about Christ, a servant. Oh, I trust the Lord will bring this to you as sweetly as we have seen it from time to time. 21st chapter. And of Exodus, and the first verse. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he serve, and in the 7th he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. Understand that? If he's alone when he comes in, he serves 6 years. The 7th year, he goes out by himself. He went in as he went out. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. So at the beginning of this, if he's married and he served 6 years, and the 7th year come, he and his wife shall go out, free for nothing. If his master hath given him a wife, and she had borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. Get that? If he comes in single, and while he's there those 6 years, he is married and have children, he's free to go, but they're still under bondage. Why? Because they were born in bondage, those children. Not only that, they were given, the wife was given to him, and she was in bondage when she was given to him. And if the servant shall plainly say, the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus, plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. My friends, is that not a picture of our Lord and Savior coming down here? Why did he come down? He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Why? He did not take upon him the nature of angels. He took upon him the nature of the seed of Abraham. What? Sin accepted. Why, my friends? Because that's what the children were. Because we were flesh and blood, my friends. He likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath power over the death. Oh, I tell you what, my friends, he was not willing to go free, and his children remained in bondage. No, he came down here with a job to do, my friends, as servant, if you would, leaving a glory world, coming down here as though he was rich, yet he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Oh, I want you to know, behold your servant, the servant of God, my friends, and understand that for your sake he humbled himself and became obedient even unto the death of the cross. For your sake, because you were in sin, you were in bondage, he, my friends, submitted himself, and as it were, his ear bore through. Oh, Elder Allen talked about the switch that was made, so to speak. Though we were sin, yet he became sin that we might become free, that we might be made righteous in him. He became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I want you to know, my friends, we were in bondage. We were servants of sin. He became, coming down here as God's servant, my friends. How about you and I today? Oh, we deserve to remain servants. But I got news for you, my friend. He's made us greater than servants. Listen to the first chapter of the book of Revelation and hear what he says. He says, and in the fifth verse, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests. Oh, though you were servants, my friends, he hath made you kings and priests unto God and his Father. Can we not say to him be glory and dominion forever and ever? Amen. Yes, my friends, though we were servants, he came down. Became, as it were, the express servant of our God, my friends. Fulfilled the job that he was given to do, that you and I, who were justly servants, might be made kings and priests unto God. Oh, listen to the fourth chapter, I believe it is, of Galatians. Says it better, certainly, than I can put it into words. Listen to what he says. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, my friends, and an heir of God through Christ. You see where you are positionally. You see where God has elevated you, my friend, and what it took him leaving the glory world and the great I am, as it were, becoming flesh, my friend, and coming down here in this low ground of sin and sorrow and became servant. One last place, and then we're through. Sixth chapter of the Roman letter. Listen to what he says. Hear it, my friends. Oh, hear it. He says in the 14th verse, or 13th verse, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your instruments as instruments, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God, for sin shall not have dominion over you. I'm not a servant to it anymore, my friend. I've been made free by the blood of the Lamb, and though on this body of mine I commit sin from time to time, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Oh, listen, for sin shall not have dominion under you, for you are not under the law, Brother Bill. You're not under the law, but under grace. God bless you.